Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here. Getaway Friday night. Friday night, February the 13th. Triskaidekaphobia. Getaway Friday the 13th. 2026, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Matt, how you doing? A regular Friday night show where we don't have anybody on the agenda tonight. Nobody in the studio. Just you and I talking about Friday the 13th and Valentine's Day.
Doing pretty well.
I want to tell you, I'm so impressed with myself today because I learned how to use these AI programs. Because yesterday we went down to Ohio State to interview Gordon Gee, and he's kind of a low talker, and we were in a room where the heating system was working overtime. So I played kind of the distorted version this morning. Now I have the clear version. Now, people, if you heard that version this morning, tonight you're going to get a treat. And by the way, this isn't the whole interview. The whole interview will air next week. This is just where he talks about Les Wexner. He talks about the Ohio State scandal with Dr. Strauss. He talks about the thing that happened at OSU this week with the reporter, the journalists, the cameramen, people getting slammed, the professor, that whole thing. Here's the clip of Gordon Gee yesterday at Ohio State. Listen to how clear this is. This is great.
I just want to go through a couple of these things that people are talking about. Yeah. You can say what you want about them or not what you want about them. You were on WOSU in January, and the quote that everybody is talking about is, you were talking about Les Wexner, who's in the news, and you said, this is cancel culture going wild. If you believe that there is even some scintilla of an issue, sometimes people just want to go to DEFCON 2, that's silly. People got angry about this.
Yeah,
what do you make?
Well, I think that they didn't have a right to get angry. They can get angry because that's what it is. Because look, people take great pride in seeing people who have achieved great things or have great work to see them fall. And, you know, I know Mr. Wexner very well. I was on his board. He was the chairman of my board here. A few people know him any better, and I can say unequivocally that I think that he is a man of great values and great integrity, and we need to let the process play out. I mean, why would we ever condemn someone because of the fact that they associated with someone else, and we don't know how long the association or everything. So I do believe that we had this cancel culture, and I use it again. You know, people don't see the right thing, then all of a sudden they're a pariah, and people get bullied because of the fact that they don't think for you, and some people think they ought to think. The First Amendment is the First Amendment, and it needs to be. We need to reacquaint ourselves as an American public with the First Amendment, which is all about free speech and about the ability to be able to think and do and say what we want to say, to be able to be held responsible, but not to be given a characterization in which there is no need to do so. If facts came out that were damning, I think we all know that Jeffrey Epstein was a terrible person. But he knew a lot of people who probably had no idea about all the things he was doing. And I don't think it's fair to condemn everyone who even had a relationship with him just simply because of the fact that he was a terrible person.
And I don't want to get too deep into this because I know there are some legal issues here, but the documentary last year, Surviving Ohio State, came out, and that now is a part of Mr. Wexner's history that he will have to testify in regard to that. Did you watch the documentary? No. What do you just make of that whole story in general?
I think, again, it's one of those things that I look back on you know, 30 years later, and obviously it's a terrible story, but it was something that if I would have been aware of it, I would have taken care of it. But obviously the very complex university, they're not aware of everything. There is no evidence whatsoever that my office do anything about it. This one guy here saying that my name is mentioned 33 times in the Perkins Foy. Probably it is, because I was president of the university. Your name was mentioned when you were the president of the university. I mean, so the fairness factor is very important. But I did not watch it. And I just don't talk about ideas that are being litigated right now.
But you did not know about it. Is how, yeah. And the other thing, and then we are going to get to education, because that is what I want to talk about here, just happened this week. And you know, maybe this is just wrong place, wrong time, but people wanted to interview you earlier this week. We're taping this on Thursday afternoon. Some people who do blogs, and I think a documentarian, came up to you in a hallway. I think you had come out of the restroom, and a professor here had an altercation with one of those.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't quite see all of the altercation, but I do know that the bloggers were being extremely aggressive to the point that they were obnoxious. And I think that's not fair, you know. I mean, they're being good. Yeah, I mean, so I had been teaching a class for 3 hours. I was teaching the class. And so I came out, went to the bathroom, and when I came out, and I was curious to them about, I just talked about civility earlier. I think that the young guy, the young faculty member, they really got in his face, and he was in a role playing the Good Samaritan. I'm not condemning anyone, but I am saying that I think that incivility should not be rewarded.
We want to take a quick break here, come back with President Ngee, and we're going to finish up the program right after this. We're going to talk education and maybe the future of journalism. That's something interesting.
Oh, Howard.
Hey, we'll talk about that after this short, but you talked about it in the event that happened this week. What do you make of journalism today that doesn't request an interview like we have done and just meets you in a hallway?
As everything in life, there are really people who are absolutely superb. But what has happened with journalism is the fact it's no longer journalism. Journalism is about seeking the truth, not seeking a political opinion, not enhancing a political opinion. I think, for example, what we're doing right now, you're a great journalist because we had a discussion, you asked a question, but you did not put a spin on it that was defensive or offensive. And I think that what is happening so often right now is that the world of journalism, as defined by what would be a good journalism, really does not exist. And I'm talking about from the far right and from the far left. I'm not condemning one side or the other. I'm condemning the fact that I do not know what happened to seeking truth and power.
Gordon Ngee, yesterday at Ohio State. I am so amazed at how clear that is. Now, is there anybody who heard that this morning? What he said is kind of irrelevant to me at this point. If you heard that this morning, now how clear is that? Now, that's the technology world we live in. If you heard that this morning and heard that now, is it not worlds of difference? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I feel like I've landed a spaceship on the moon.
The future is now.
I mean, you couldn't do that before. If you recorded something bad, you were just stuck with it.
You could have done something. Editing's been around for ages.
Oh, not like that, though. If you had, like, a bad sound in there or something, some humming or whatever, it was terrible.
Well, I'm sure.
But if you heard it, let us know if it sounded better. It sounded better in my ears. 740-383-9944. But I want to say this. Gordon Ngee is a class act. You got to give him that. He's a very nice, cordial gentleman. But how do you feel about his opinions on Les Wexner? By the way, the rest of that interview will air next week one day. And he talks about everything. We talk about the governor's race. We talk about Jim Tressel being lieutenant governor. We talk about Mike DeWine. We talk about his background. Where did his bow ties come from? We talk about the Department of Education. We talk about everything. You don't want to miss this interview. In-depth Gordon Gee.
Very nice.
Well, you were there.
Yes. Was there a question somewhere in there?
Yeah, first thing I asked you, I said, what do you make of the Les Wexner thing?
Oh, see, I thought there was a question, but then you kept talking, and I was like, okay.
Well, I say you have to give Gordon Gee his due.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, I like Gordon Gee. No, I mean, I understand Gordon Gee's position. I mean, you know, he's been friends with Wexner for, you know, 30 years, I think he said. So, I mean, well, you know, there's that. I don't know. I mean, he gave a lot of praise to Wexner there. You know, said he was a man of integrity and character, I think he said. Good character and of integrity.
So what do you make of the OSU story, Dr. Strauss?
Well, I mean, he said that he didn't know anything about it. The part I always find funny is that he just says there is no evidence that my office knew anything about it.
Well, I think, what else would you say?
I don't know anything about it.
I think he said that.
Yeah, he did. But then, you know, he had to throw in, there's no evidence.
Well, because a lot of times people don't believe you when you say something.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things. Like, you know, if you ask me if I murdered somebody, I'm going to tell you no because I didn't murder somebody. But if I did murder somebody and you ask me if I murdered somebody, I'm going to tell you no.
Right. But then you would also follow it up. If there was also evidence that you had not murdered somebody, you would say that too. There's no evidence that I've murdered anybody.
I'd probably say, show me the evidence.
Well, if you didn't, then there's no evidence.
Exactly. That's my point.
Well, that's what he's saying.
I think
why he's... Because you have to think of... You're taking him out of context.
No, I understand.
Because he followed it up by saying, there's a guy who mentions that my name's in there 33 times.
But it was just... It's just funny.
Then the bout with the reporter, or the blogger, or whoever...
Well, you know, he thought that they were extremely aggressive to the point of being obnoxious.
That's a good quote.
So, I mean, you'll have the, you know, you what's the term?
He called the professor a good Samaritan.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, that kind of thing. I mean,
I don't know. I think that's an interesting take.
Well, yeah, for Gordon Gee.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would have called him a good Samaritan. I mean, I don't think you should go, you know, assaulting people. But like I said, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. If somebody asks you not to put a camera in
their...
If somebody asks you not to put a camera in their face, I don't think you should go putting a camera in there. I mean, you have the right to, I guess. You're in a public place. But, you know, if they ask you not to...
Why did they catch him coming out of the bathroom? I think that's not part of the story anywhere. I think that's terrible.
Oh, because it's like ambushing.
Yeah, but what is that? I mean, I don't think that's...
They saw him go into the bathroom, and they're like, well, get the camera ready.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Again...
I don't know why they didn't just, like... You know, walk up to him, you know, hello, Mr. Gee.
First of all, I'll tell you something I don't like. Listen, they're journalists, whatever. But that is not an interview. Catching somebody and asking them a question as they come out of the bathroom. If that's true, all bathroom attendants would be interviewers. That is not an interview. I don't know what that is, but it's not an interview.
I think if they wanted to talk to him and they saw him go into the bathroom and couldn't talk to him before he went into the bathroom, I think they should have just waited for him to come out of the bathroom and then said, like, you know, hello, Mr. Gee, I'm, you know, so-and-so, this, you know, this is so-and-so, and, you know, we were wondering if you'd answer a couple questions. If not now, you could, you know, give us a statement or we could, you know, schedule a time, something like that. I don't know that. Turning on the camera, following him down the hallway to the elevator is great after he already apparently answered at least one question.
And by the way, it's not okay to slam somebody down, so the professor was wrong.
Yes, no assaulting people.
No, but I think people feel that there's some kind of justification by saying these people shouldn't have done what they did. No, I don't think that I think that professor lost his mind or something.
Two wrongs don't make a right. You know, that whole thing.
No, but I think there's different levels of wrong here. I think hitting somebody and kicking them is far more wrong than putting a camera in somebody's face. But I'm still not sure that putting a camera in somebody's face is the best idea.
I'd agree to that, yeah. I mean, I mean, yeah, one's assault, the other one's just annoying. I mean...
And by the way, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. It is Friday the 13th, Valentine's Day Eve. Are you excited for Valentine's Day tomorrow?
I guess.
No, you're not.
I mean,
you know, I read a story today.
Okay.
I'm not going to get into the explicit nature of this story, but they had statistics. But basically, the point of the story is that people are lonelier now than they have been at any time in quite some time. Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. I mean... I'm sure social media has something to do with it. I mean, people don't really... I mean, you don't really have to go outside anymore if you don't want to. I mean, you know, you can DoorDash food. You can get groceries dropped off at your house. You know, it's... I mean, you could do... You can.
I think the phone's a big part of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, socializing isn't required anymore. And I think that's...
That's going to bite people in the rear end in about 20, 30 years.
I'd agree, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good way to go. And then I saw a clip today, because a lot of people are paying homage to James Vanderbeek, who died at 48 this week. Colorectal cancer. But they showed a clip of him, and he was on a talk show, and he was saying how... When he first got sick, because he had six kids, and he was talking about how he always had to be the strong one and take care of his family and take care of his kids, and he was an actor and blah, blah, blah. And he said when he got sick that he actually had to depend on other people, and it was the first time he had, and people came and helped him, and he got emotional talking about that. I mean, that's very interesting.
Well, I mean, I think it's... Well, which part?
Well, I think that's the conversation we have been having for about 2 weeks now, is that you don't ask people to do that, but when they do show up when you're having a bad time, it that means something. Because you don't necessarily expect them to.
I guess not. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
You know, Barbara Walters used to tell... It all comes back to Barbara Walters. Barbara Walters used to tell... Huh? Oh, yes. She used to tell a story about when she went from NBC to ABC, and she was on the evening news with Harry Reasoner, and Harry Reasoner did not want her there, and the ratings were bad. They were in third place, and she had left this great environment where she was number one on the Today Show, and she was... They were in third place. Harry Reasoner wouldn't talk to her in the studio. He didn't want a partner. He didn't want a woman. The people in the studio wouldn't talk to her. She hated it. They were writing in the newspapers that she's a failure. And she said she was just at the worst point in her life. She was just depressed. Thought her career was over. And one day, she got a telegram in the mail. And all it said was, "Don't let the bastards get you down." And it was signed... John Wayne, the Duke. And she'd never met him. Now think about that. So again, somebody she didn't even know realizing that she's in a bad way, reaching out.
John Wayne.
Yeah, she told that story a lot.
John Wayne was an interesting kind of guy.
And that was toward the end of his life. And then
he had like a whole character, like, a whole, like, you know, dynamic character change or something.
Well, he might have been that type of guy all his life. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't around John Wayne, nor around his time. But apparently he was, like, racist and misogynistic and
Well, see, that's terrible. You should never say that when somebody's dead.
Well, I read it on the internet.
Oh, well, then it must be true.
No, here, I'll find the things.
I don't know how this is relevant to the story we're talking about.
I don't know. I just thought it was done. We were talking about John Wayne.
So this
brought up.
Okay, back to where we were.
All right.
Again, reaching out when you don't have to. That means more. I'm sure her friends were telling her, "Oh, it'll be okay, Barbara. It'll be okay." But somebody reaching out who didn't have to, it means something.
You don't have to reach out to your friends. I mean, it doesn't make you a very good friend, I suppose, but...
Was that the question?
No.
I think you always miss the question.
What's the question?
When somebody reaches out, who you don't expect to reach out,
okay.
Does it mean more?
I don't think so. I had to think, you know, it's a good, you know, it's just one of those kind of questions, I guess. But no, I don't think so. I mean,
I do, because sometimes it's people you never expect.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there have been times, like, I don't know, like, I just feel like, if somebody I didn't know just reached out to me and was like, hey, you know, like, I'd be like, why are they talking, like, why are they messaging me?
Go ahead, caller.
I don't mean be in on your show, Scott, but I was just listening. Everything's going fine, but did you hear any news since you got off the air, you and Matt, today, about anything else unusual going on in Marion?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think I know what you're talking about.
Okay. I just wondered if you did, and I thought, well, you have your show, and you put it the way you're supposed to put it your way, and I thought, well, maybe you're going to do that the second time. But I was amazed. I just surfed the channel, like I say, in the evening. That's our time together to watch the news and stuff, Carol. And I surfed the channel, and I heard that, and I thought, now, wait a minute. Scott and you had trouble with the interview. I said, the television's all assed up. I said, I heard Grogan's name, I heard McDonald's name, and I heard everything, and then all at once I seen the pictures flashing on the screen and about an officer, and it was all Marion. I thought, my God, they just had the screens 4, 6, and 10 the other day, about the time you, I don't know if that was Thursday or the day before. That was funny when they had that little incident with the college people down there, the pushing and shoving and stuff. And then this come on the air again today. It showed Marion and Loveser City and everything and all that stuff. And I thought, told Carol, I said, you know what? Is this television going wacky or somebody really sabotaging it?
How did the Gee interview sound tonight?
This is what I was going to say. I am amazed. That is unbelievable. If somebody would tell me that, and if it wasn't for you doing that and witness that and doing it yourself and publicize it on your radio station, I'd have said, there ain't no way you're going to get that stuff out. And I'm telling you, I wanted to hear Gordon Gee talk and listen to his language with your language, and your language being interviewing him was okay, but then when he talked, it wasn't, and so it was really a mess. And I said, boy, I'd like to hear that interview, and be darned, I'm listening tonight, and bingo, that's terrific, and it's a good conversation. And like you say, later on, you're going to talk about this, and he's going to talk about that. I think it's going to be an interesting interview again after you talk to him again about all that.
I hope so. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, phone lines are open. The story, it's on our webpage. We can talk about it. The thing of it is, I don't know what much there is to say, but basically a 24-year-old Marion police officer was arrested today for sexual assault. And, I mean, it's awful. Chief McDonald has made a statement. And Sheriff Bales and Prosecutor Grogan have made their statements. It's an ugly story. I think we're just going to have to let it play out, though. But I don't know. It's sad. And it's by a family member. He's in custody. And $250,000 bond. So you want to say anything?
Well, I mean, I don't know what much there is to say. I don't know. I mean, I know what I read there. I mean, I know there's a abduction charge that he was apparently charged with as well.
You know, that's That's a tough one.
Yep.
You know, it's I guess he'll have his day in court. I don't know.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see until, you know, the case happens or evidence comes out or something like that.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because there are a lot of similarities here. Now, I even hate to say, because I don't know. Well, I mean, it is. It's a somebody of note in the community. They're being accused of sexual assault. And here we go. So, it's a particular situation, I'll tell you that. Go ahead, caller.
I hate to chime in again, but you know what? The part I heard that was a little different to me, that this officer was going with this person, and then maybe they broke up or something like that, and then this incident happened. So I told my wife, I said, it's one of those things, whenever you hear just the word rape, you think, oh, my God, somebody just beat up on some woman and took her by force and done all this and done all that. But, oh, man, there's so much about law and history and stuff of all the wording and everything. I don't. My wife, married all these years, just don't understand everything. But it wasn't just like a police officer went out and grabbed some child and raped them or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's apparently the family member was abducted and then assaulted, allegedly. I don't know. I don't think the officer is saying they're guilty.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out. But
yeah. So I just thought it was interesting. And the only reason I said anything today about, because you guys are, I'm thinking to myself, now I shouldn't be thinking, because that's when I get in trouble. But I think, well, heck, you guys aren't going to be on tomorrow, Sunday, or Monday. But you're not taking a holiday Monday, so.
No, I'll be here Monday.
Yeah, okay. And, yeah, I'm still amazed about that. Whatever that AI or whatever you got into and however that works or what it costs to get that redone, I'm telling you, that is excellent. They've done a good job.
Hey, bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. I'm telling you, see, we're all amazed by that AI regeneration of Gordon Gee. You couldn't have done that years ago.
You could have done something.
Oh, no, I was around. You couldn't have done anything.
It wouldn't have been that good, but you could have done something.
Not much. Not much. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. But it's a terrible thing here. You know, innocent until proven guilty. But boy, when it's a police officer, that's no good.
Yeah, that's rough. It's another one of those stories that's probably going to make it to go to Columbus.
I think it did.
Oh, well, look at that.
You know, what is going on around here?
Three or four in the span of like 2 years.
No, but I mean, what is... We've got the story of Ayers, not guilty. We've got this story. Police officer accused of rape, a family member. We've got the water story, which has been on. We've got the city of Marion not balancing their books for years. We cannot win.
Seems that way, yeah.
We need a good story. I don't know what it's going to be.
Well, it'll happen at some point, I'm sure.
Maybe people dancing over at the women's club. I'm still waiting for them to ask. They haven't called yet.
I think it's a bit late for that. You see, they've already chosen the dancers.
Yeah, but I could slip in there.
It's like right, you know.
Trust me, it wouldn't be all that good anyway.
It's like right there.
It's March close. The 7th.
Yeah, close.
Yeah, maybe they'll send a ticket.
They might give you a ticket.
It's a tight room.
Well, I can imagine.
So again, the question being tonight, does it mean more when somebody else reaches out when you're in a bad way?
Why are they reaching out?
Well, because you're in a bad way.
Well, I understand, but they don't know me.
You can tell when somebody's taking it.
Yeah, but I don't know them.
Right.
So why are they? Why? I just don't get it.
because they care.
They don't know me.
Okay, I don't. I think you're lost.
So, I don't know. I appreciate it, I guess. That's always nice.
I think you probably know somebody who's on television. You don't know them personally, but you know
You know of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what's going on there. I don't know why this is such a hard concept for you.
Maybe it's just because you framed it in a way of, like, you know, they don't know each other.
They didn't.
See, but that's weird.
See, well, maybe that's the problem in the world today. Maybe that's why everybody has to ask permission to help somebody. Do you need any help? Let me know. Put it on the person who needs help.
Yeah, if you need help, ask.
Well, I think that's what James Vanderbeek was saying. He was saying that he doesn't ask for help.
I understand that.
Right, but he needed it. A lot of people are like that. It's kind of a prideful thing.
Yeah.
So when people did help, he was very thankful for it.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think you should be thankful when people help you. That's a good thing to do. I don't know why he didn't expect them to help him. It's not like...
There are people who... Now, see,
like
now
family members? Like, it depends on who... I guess who's coming to help him.
Well, I think that's the point I'm making. Sometimes people come out who you don't expect to come out. And then there are people sometimes who you expect to come out who don't.
People are busy.
No, but that can give you a good grudge. You can say, okay, well, I guess that person wasn't as close as I thought they were.
They'll have that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I you know, I can experience that.
You'll have that from time to time. Yeah. I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure there are people who think we're better friends than I think we are. And I'm sure it goes the other way around, too.
Right. But I'm saying a crisis will always point that out to you.
Maybe.
It does, and I like it that way. Yeah, I'm sorry you have to go through a crisis. But it's nice that you learn who pays attention and who shows up. 50% is showing up.
Well, yep.
So, you know, it's nice. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What's coming up on your show tonight?
Football and politics. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl.
Terrible. Nobody cared.
There's not... I mean, it's still the second most watched TV program of all time or something like that.
See, I told you.
I mean, it's still the second most.
I told you it wouldn't be the most. Anyway, what do you got? I think it was the second most because of the Bad Bunny. Most watched Super Bowl halftime show of all time. I think it carried the show.
Well, it went by average viewership. I don't think they counted halftime viewers.
I think they did.
Because they counted halftime separately. It's like one... I don't know. It was
no,
like,
Nielsen ranks by quarter hour, I think. You can't just leave something off.
Well, I mean, yes, I guess they'd include it in the average, but it wouldn't be the average.
No, but it'd bump up an average.
Barely.
Yeah, not really, but a lot. Go when it's the most watched of all time.
Hour game.
Yeah, boring. Boring game. Go ahead. What's on your show?
Oh, I forgot that was the question. So we were talking about the Super Bowl. I was like, go ahead with what? No, we're going to talk about the Super
Bowl. Yeah. Maybe we ought to have more guests on Friday night.
No, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl has happened. There's not much.
Tear out the front page. You going to tell people that tonight? The Super Bowl has happened. All right.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the, you know. There's not much tapping with the coaching carousel or the free agency, but there's political stories.
Stop with the coaching carousel. Well, nobody cares.
It's pretty much over now. Besides,
the coaching carousel happens at Ohio State now. out in the hallway with the reporters and the teacher. That's the coaching carousel.
That is not the coaching carousel.
It is.
Nope.
When that guy put that camera in his face, when that Professor Wright hooked him with his arm, that was the coaching carousel.
No, see, the coaching...
He was giving him coach. He was teaching him a lesson.
No, the coaching carousel would be like if they fired Ryan Day, and then Ryan Day had to go get a job somewhere else, he'd be in the coaching carousel.
What does that mean?
It's like the free agency, but for coaches.
But they're not going around in a circle.
Well, they kind of do.
No, they don't. They go around in a circle.
I mean, the dude who was the...
This is what unemployed coaches do, go around in a circle?
Well, they, like, rotate teams.
Okay.
But, like, the
That's like the politicians in Ohio.
But, Jim Schwartz...
They just rotate offices.
Jim Schwartz was the defensive coordinator at the Browns, and the Browns originally hired him in, like, 1989 as, like, a personnel scout. And he was only there for 2 years before he went to the Titans, I want to say it was. So, he made his loop back to the Browns, and then he ended up resigning because he was upset that he didn't get the head coaching job.
Huh.
I would have given him the head coaching job. He fostered the best defense in the NFL 2 years in a row, in my opinion.
By the way, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I just cannot watch football.
Why not?
It is so boring. So incredibly boring.
I would disagree.
Well, I understand, but it is. It's just boring.
I think you're wrong.
Well, I understand, but it's boring.
Baseball is boring.
It is boring, boring, boring. Amy Acton.
What'd she do?
Vivek Ramaswamy.
What'd they do?
They're running for governor.
Yeah, I got
9 months away. How do you see it? David Pepper on the show the other day.
I did not hear that.
He was on.
What'd he say?
A lot of stuff.
That's good.
You'll have to listen. He was on for a half hour. Always nice, always polite. I'll tell you, this is going to be a matchup. This is going to be a thing.
Yeah, I like David Pepper.
Well, it's not him.
Well, I understand, but you were just talking about how he was on the show.
You're always like 10 steps behind where I am.
Well, because you just list off like 3 things, so I gotta pick. I'm like picking one to talk about.
No, I said this is going to be a matchup. There we are.
He was on. You said that David Pepper was on the show.
And you said, what did he say? And I said, a lot of stuff. Now that poop, that's gone. So now.
And then I said, that's good. And then you started talking again, but I was going to say, that's good. I like David Pepper. But you didn't let me get that far.
So have you made your decision for governor yet?
No.
Well, you're going to get, somebody's going to get angry with you.
Why?
Oh, because it can happen.
Well, I might have to, that'd be unfortunate, huh?
I don't know. Don't ask me. But Amy Acton's getting a lot of endorsements of the unions. I think that's interesting.
Don't the unions usually endorse the Democrats in that kind of their?
Yeah, but I don't think it happened to this. She's really out there. I'll say that for her. Give her credit for that.
I have heard nothing from this woman.
Now she's out there having press conferences like this week on Medicaid.
Well, yes, but I got that one. Medicaid.
Yeah. I don't know where else she is, but Vivek Ramaswamy has disappeared off the face of the earth. I don't see him anywhere.
I think he's like maybe trying to like. I don't know, re-scheme his whole campaign.
I don't know what he's doing. I think he's took some advice from, like, Blystone and Renacci, and he realizes he's going to have trouble here.
Why?
Because of his religion and because of his heritage.
I don't think that not talking is going to help him with that.
Well, I don't know how it's going to help him. I don't know what he could say.
You can't say anything to make people like him? That's not
rational. I don't
know.
I just think it's very interesting that the hardcore Republicans I talk to, I have never met anybody who's been all in on Vivek Ramaswamy.
Well, I know a lot of people who are all in on Vivek Ramaswamy.
Who do you know? Who?
Like, are you talking about politicians or?
Anybody.
Well, I know, like, family members, people like that.
Oh, they're sitting around talking about Vivek Ramaswamy.
Well, no, I mean, they're not sitting around talking about him, but if you ask them about him, I mean, that's their choice.
I'm just saying, some hardcore Republicans who have always been for the Republicans have said to me, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Amy Acton won. You know, they're very similar. You know, Vivek is going to have problems with certain people. I mean, that is not something the Republicans in Ohio are used to saying.
I think he'll be fine. I think there's a good chance he could win.
That's not usually the stance.
I just think that Amy Acton also has a good chance to win.
And you see her as a strong candidate?
I mean, she's not weak, I guess. I mean, she's just quiet. Same thing with him, though, I guess. Nobody's really saying anything. It's been a quiet campaign.
Well, I think nobody wants to make a mistake.
Go big or go home. You got to gamble.
I think she thinks she's got it, and I think he's trying to figure out how...
You think she thinks that she has it.
Yes. I think she's looked at the polling. I think she's looked at what Republicans are saying. I think she's looking at all that, and she's looking at Vivek Ramaswamy's non-appearances at this point. And, yeah, I think she's looking that he's going to have a Republican primary.
I don't see that at all. I mean, he's got somebody running against him, but I don't think he's not Vivek Ramaswamy.
What are you talking about? What'd you say?
I said, yeah, Vivek's got somebody running against him, but he's not Vivek Ramaswamy. People like Vivek.
Right.
I'm sure people like Casey Putsch too, but you know, Vivek had, you know, he'd been on the national scale with people who conservatives do by and large like.
So what's the point there?
What do you mean?
I'm confused on what.
Like, Vivek Ramaswamy's a popular guy. I mean, he did things with Charlie Kirk. He was supposed to be part of the whole the Doge thing before he decided to come back to Ohio to run for governor. He's friendly with Donald Trump. There are other things that I can't think of off the top of my head, but I mean, people like him.
Who said nobody liked him?
He's big on PR.
I don't think anybody said he wasn't liked.
Well, I don't know about PR. I don't think PR is the right term, but he's a...
I'm just confused on what point you're making. That Vivek Ramaswamy's popular.
I'm just saying that I don't think Amy Acton has it in the bag. You said that you think that Amy Acton thinks that she has it in the bag.
I do.
I think that's...
And I ran down the reasons why I think she thinks that.
Well, I think Vivek has you know, just as good a chance.
I don't know. I think, what are his roadblocks? What are hers? And that's what you have to look at. And I think he's got more. I think he's got a Republican primary. I think he's got issues within his own party.
He's going to win the Republican primary.
Oh, of course he's going to win the Republican primary.
Hand over fist.
Well, I don't know about that. And that's where we're going to find out. That's where the rubber's going to meet the road, because we're going to find out what counties he's weak in that primary. And if he is weak in Morrow, Wyandotte, Meigs, a lot of counties down in southern Ohio, which I have said, if we see that on May the 5th, Amy Acton's going to see that, and that's going to be a problem.
For Vivek?
But why would that be a problem for her?
Well, I don't know. I missed half what you were saying. But I was going to take a drink of this, and then you were done talking. But no, I mean, I got it. You said the whole he's going to lose.
You might need
a lot
some attention span medication or something.
I probably do. I probably have ADHD or something. The caffeine definitely doesn't help.
Well, you definitely have the restless leg syndrome.
I have moving my legs all the time. What were we talking about? I know we were talking about the governorship and Vivek Ramaswamy and Amy Acton, but where did we leave off? That's the question.
I don't know. if anybody at home's following this, maybe you can catch him up. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
I remember.
What is it?
Because I think you were talking about the whole thing where how he's gonna struggle in the really rural areas.
I did not say that. I said that I think a primary will show vulnerabilities, and if those vulnerabilities are there,
well, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, let me rephrase, I guess. How you were talking about how the primary could show that he's going to struggle in the rural areas.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's what she's waiting on.
You didn't like how I phrased it the first time. I had to rephrase
it. Well, I didn't say it. But I think that's why she feels confident at this point. And I think she's looking at the polls. I think she's also looking at the money coming in. I think she's also looking at the fact that if I'm hearing this from establishment Republicans, she's hearing it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I think that, you know. Well,
what establishment Democrats have turned on her?
They haven't.
Right. Who in the Democratic Party has felt... Who primaried her?
Well,
usually the party not in power is where the primary happens.
There was going to be a primary.
Didn't happen. They felt she was too strong.
I guess.
That's what I'm saying. They do feel like that Casey Putch group, even if he only got 5% in the Republican primary, which is extremely low, Vivek cannot lose that in the main, or he will lose.
You think those people... I think if you're going to show up to vote in the primary, you're pretty good and well voting for whoever the Republicans got.
I don't think so, because this is such a mandate. If you listen to Casey Putch talk about Vivek Ramaswamy, I mean, he never would endorse him, never would vote for him.
What's he got against Vivek?
Did you hear the interview?
I did not.
Well, there you go. You don't know how badly he talked about him.
I was sleeping.
He talked about him horribly.
What'd he say?
I don't remember.
No, I don't remember anything in particular?
He said he would not vote for him. He said he would not endorse him. And he said if he is the candidate, Amy Acton will win the election. And there you go. And we're going to break. We'll be back right after this.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.
I know.